The Truth News Network. You like it straight and can't find that anywhere? Rest easy. Always get the straight shot and always get the truth from the Truth News Network. Here with today's Truth Chapter is Dan Newman.
Well, before we're done today, I'm sure you will agree that I've probably stepped on some toes with today's chapter at Truth News Network. Hello, everyone. I'm Dan Newman. I'm glad you could join me here today. Today, we're talking about Trump's campaign finance fraud. Wow. Well, everyone has heard about it. Everyone has heard about it by now. Trump's former personal attorney, Michael Cohen, under specific direction of then-candidate Donald Trump, paid hush money to two adult porn stars with which Trump allegedly had affairs. That money was campaign money. How do we know that? The media said that, of course, and Democrats make the same claims. So what happens now? Let's dig down into the nitty-gritty of all this. Did Trump actually have affairs with the two women? President Trump says he did not. Of course, his saying so means nothing to leftists. Anything he is accused of is factual in their eyes. Nevertheless, he has been accused. Then why did Cohen, under Trump's direction, pay that money? Remember this, Trump is running for president. Both of those women apparently came forward at a critical time in the campaign cycle. Having bimbo eruptions at that particular time would be deadly for any campaign. Stopping their stories from hitting the news was critical. We don't know if Donald Trump actually had those affairs. He says he did not. They both say he did. To my knowledge, no evidence, hard evidence, has been presented proving either had any involvement with Donald Trump. But even if he did so prior to being a candidate for any office, and therefore his doing so would have been purely a personal matter. But the president maintains there were no affairs with either woman. And that brings up a point we need to mention. Michael Cohen, who is the only one that testified to those quote-unquote facts, pled guilty to being a criminal perjurer. In other words, he's admitted to being a liar. Well, why would both of those women say it happened if it really didn't happen? Come on. We're not naive. Both proved by the way they came forward, at the time they came forward, their purposes in doing so. Money and fame. Democrats and their media puppets took the bait and have incessantly beat the drum of bimbo payoffs since the revelations. And with the Cohen admission of making the payoffs as campaign funds payout, which if true would be illegal, just stoked the illegals' liberal fires again. The payoffs did happen. Confirmation of that is not in dispute. However, were campaign funds used? Apparently, Michael Cohen provided no hard documentation showing the payoff methods and their details. But it is surely certain that if the Trump campaign wrote checks or wired funds, the Federal Election Commission would have stepped forward with that information by now. They definitely have that in campaign disclosure forms. Cohen actually initially stated that he paid both women himself. As Trump's personal attorney, Cohen was on a monthly retainer for legal services. That's been verified. It is commonplace for people of financial substance to have attorneys and accountants and other professionals under contracts in that exact fashion. Those contracts pay for the operating expenses of their clients. They then bill clients for services provided above those retainers' coverage. In that manner, Cohen's paying them was normal. The public would have not voted for Trump if they knew the truth. Therefore, the payoffs were campaign fund violations. That's the story being passed around by Democrats. But their story doesn't stop there. Experts are actually all over mainstream media outlets stating that this rises to the level of a criminal or impeachable offense. But there is precedence and irony here, and both past such events point to these payments, if they were made to cover up Trump's sexual impropriety and not just to thwart blackmail, which is what they seem to have been for, are not criminal and probably were not at all improper. Let's examine those two precedents. Enter former Senator John Edwards. Remember him? Edwards is a former U.S. Senator from North Carolina, and he was a Democratic Party vice presidential and then presidential candidate who, in August of 2008, admitted to having an extramarital affair. The affair was initially reported in late 2007 by the National Enquirer, but was given little attention outside the tabloid press and political blogosphere. The Enquirer cited claims from an anonymous source that Edwards had engaged in an affair with Riel Hunter, a filmmaker hired to work for his presidential campaign, and that Hunter had a child conceived in their relationship. Edwards vehemently denied the affair and that Hunter's child was not his own. But after much media pressure, on January 21st of 2010, Edwards issued a statement admitting the affair and that he was the father of Hunter's child. Then on June 3rd, 2011, Edwards was indicted by a North Carolina grand jury on 6 felony counts. The charges? They came from Edwards' use of campaign funds to cover up the affair and the subsequent birth of the child. Does that sound familiar? Edwards faced a maximum sentence of 30 years in prison and a $1.5 million fine, or a U.S. dollars $250,000 fine and or 5 years imprisonment per charge. The indictment came after the failure of intensive negotiations for a plea bargain that would have required Edwards' guilty plea to the misuse of campaign funds. After delays due to John Edwards' medical condition, jury selection for the trial began on April 12th of 2012. Opening arguments began on April 23rd that year. A verdict, not guilty on one count, and a mistrial on the remaining 5 to the trial was reached on May 31st, 2012. As Democrats, who are about to take control of the House of Representatives, which is where impeachment proceedings would begin, as they mull over the constant cries of many congressional Democrats and also from many big campaign donors to impeach President Trump, they have something much bigger than John Edwards' conundrum with Riel Hunter to deal with. If they push forward with impeachment, they must deal with the 900-pound gorilla that lives in their home, a congressional sexual settlement hush fund. Have you heard about this? You may have heard whispers about it a couple of years ago. You may have, at the time you heard of it, wondered who in Congress was involved, how long the fund had existed, who was paid out of the fund and for what, and what was the source of dollars put in that fund. If you wondered these things then, you still wonder about all of those. Why? Nothing has been released. If you're a victim of sexual harassment and you work for Congress, you can't complain to the Human Resources Department. You can't file a lawsuit either, at least not until you've gone through months of mandatory counseling and mediation designed to keep such complaints out of court, and more importantly, out of the public eye. That's all spelled out in the laughably named Congressional Accountability Act, a special set of rules designed to protect the people who wrote them. Let's look into it. Instead of HR, claims are handled by the Congressional Office of Compliance. It receives allegations of sexual harassment, salary discrimination, and other workplace issues, and pays out settlements with money supplied by, you guessed it, the U.S. Treasury, if the parties reach an agreement. Since 1997, taxpayers have shelled out, just a little bit, only $15.2 million. Think of it as the taxpayer hush money fund. You pay, and the complaints go away. Those records aren't subject to the Federal Freedom of Information Act. Go figure. The compliance office doesn't disclose the names of congressmen or their aides who reach settlements with their accusers. A case becomes public only if mediation fails and the victim later wins a favorable ruling in federal court or through an administrative process. So, in the midst of such an outrageous and egregious system in place in Congress, who is responsible for it? Who funds it? The answers? It's part of a bill that Congress passed itself. Who pays for it? We do. Every single cent. Remember, so far, $15.2 million. Taxpayer money in, sexual harassment by members of Congress committed, victims get paid out by those taxpayer dollars with zero accountability. Surely there is some member of Congress who saw the horrors of this process and the outcry that would certainly come from Americans if revealed. Certainly some member of Congress would blow the whistle and take action to expose this and shine the light of revelation on all the wrongdoers who had wasted taxpayers' dollars to pay off their sex victims. Well, there was one such a lawmaker, soon to be ex-lawmaker, Florida Governor-elect Ron DeSantis. There's a bill that Ron DeSantis, as congressman, introduced. And on the homepage of the website, in this article down the middle, there's a link you can click on it. I've posted the bill. Click on it. You can read the whole thing. It's not really long, but it's too long to post in this story. I'll summarize it here, though. The bill was not intended to do away with the fund, but rather to force total transparency for Americans to see not only who in Congress were guilty of using unapproved taxpayer funds to pay off those abused members of Congress and aides, but to chronicle the dollars of every incident going forward. The bill was introduced in committee in the fall of 2017 by DeSantis. Thankfully, somebody stood up and said, "We've got to take control of this. We've got to be totally transparent to our voters." Its current status, more than 1 year later, it's still in committee. Of course, it was referred to committee immediately upon its introduction by DeSantis. There have been no committee hearings, no amendments, no discussion at all. Basically, it is dead. So let's summarize this whole thing. Democrats in the House have a tall hill to climb if they choose to take the Trump bimbo eruption to the door of impeachment. First, there's the precedent set by federal court in the John Edwards campaign funds charges, in which that court determined Edwards was not guilty of campaign violations. Then Democrats would be forced to throw the doors of sexual improprieties of dozens, if not hundreds, of current and past members of Congress. Why would they do that? Think about the current allegations against Trump and the Cohen revelation in federal court. He paid two women who accused then private citizen Trump of having affairs and paid them with campaign funds. If any federal court went against the Edwards precedent and ruled against the president, that would mean the congressional hush fund and those who benefited from hush fund payouts from the fund would be guilty of the same wrongdoing Trump is accused of. Every member of Congress who benefited from this hush fund dollars would have had them paid from, by the definition of campaign fund disbursement rules as determined and published by the Federal Election Commission, could be charged for campaign funds payouts for personal use. The reasoning for their payouts could only be to hide their personal wrongdoing to thwart the possible negative impact of the news of that wrongdoing in their campaigns. Members of Congress run every 2 years for election and re-election. Let's face it. Democrats are simply posturing for political purposes. They're lapdog messaging merchants, the mainstream media, simply parrot those claims over and over. They hope the media, an American public that is growing tired of all the political posturing and the necessity to fact-check every bit of news seen or heard, simply turn a deaf ear to this entire process and simply cave to the hollow and false allegations by Democrats and fall in line. Democrats and the media are praying that facts will be forgotten, emotions will rule, and Trump will be driven from office. They really, really pray that Special Counsel Robert Mueller will miraculously uncover some Russian collusion on the part of Donald Trump personally, if not his campaign, and that Trump criminality will do the dirty work for them. Donald Trump is guilty of one thing for sure. Listen to this. His policies have made everything he has tackled politically better. Not just better, much better than as they were when he took the oath of office. Will that be enough to keep him in the White House for two more years and possibly six? The truth has worked in the past. Most Americans hope the truth will work this time, too. Well, there you have it, folks. More political posturing in Washington, D.C. Go figure. But here, as always, you get the truth. You get the facts. We never tell you what to think, but we give you truth to think about. Thank you for joining us here at the Truth News Network. Have a great day. We'll talk soon. So long, everybody.
So busy you don't have time for today's news on TV or newspaper? Never fear. TNN has your answer. Download TNN Podcast to your phone. Catch up with the latest news during your busy day. The Truth News Network. TNN. TruthNewsNet.org.